This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. That was a little bit of David Bowie there. It's nice to have a little throwback sometimes. We exclusively play LGBT plus artists on this show, and sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of a throwback to the 80s. Today I'm joined by a very, very lovely guest indeed. I am joined by the incredible Kyle Duvall. And now, you are a fashion designer, celebrity stylist, and all-round LGBT plus superstar. Is that correct?
Hope so. Hi, Callum. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. So you are doing, I feel like you've got a lot of fingers in a lot of pies. I feel like you're doing so many amazing things. I think one of the first things that I was really drawn to you about was your kind of commitment to inclusivity and, you know, raising up other voices. And we're going to talk about a lot of things, but I really wanted to talk about first your YouTube channel. So you have a channel called Cake with a Four.
Cake with a Four. So it stands for Courage for Kids and Equality.
Courage for Kids and Equality. Tell me a little bit about that, and what kind of how did that begin?
So it really just came from, I was getting, I've always wanted to do something to help and give back. I've just always been that kind of person. And I was getting a few messages on my Instagram page, just some like kids, and we found the age was usually between 15 and 17. And they were just being like, oh, I love your Instagram. Like, you know, I look up to you. Like, just the little things, like you wearing makeup publicly, like it's given me the confidence to do so. So I was like, you know what, there's like something here. We can do something with this. So a friend of mine is like good with all the camera shit, because I'm terrible that side of it. Sorry as well. So we just thought, let's do this thing. So we've put together an initiative or a platform, I don't know what we're really calling it at the moment, and we just take inspirational people from the LGBT community, and just it's the same question plan, and we just ask them things like, how was it, what were you like when you were 15, like what was your lowest point in life, what was your happiest point in life, and you know, just like those little 5-minute interviews really make a difference. And then eventually when we get funding and stuff, hopefully we'll do fun days and just be like more hands-on and stuff, but for now we're just doing the 5-minute interviews.
That's amazing. And I think it's really great that you're kind of focusing it on kids, because I think I think it's one of the most difficult times for LGBT plus people. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of troubles and things we can face throughout our lives, but I think that is definitely this kind of really sensitive part of our lives. And honestly, I don't think I know a single LGBT plus person who didn't go through some kind of turmoil kind of when they were younger, in their childhood and teenage years.
I think it's because you really realize how different you are to, say, like a cisgender male, like, child compared, do you know what I mean? That's when you start really, like, you start like getting your sexual thoughts. Yeah. And you start, like, I don't know, for me it was like, I didn't really want to dress like my friends in tracksuits. I wanted to put on stilettos and dresses, and I was like, okay, I'm a bit different to you guys. You
That's
know, so
amazing.
I think if, like, and I really feel like if I had that support when I was 15, I would have got to the person I am today a whole lot quicker, wouldn't have had dark times, you know, just that little bit of support really can help you.
Yeah, I remember having kind of, maybe not sexual, but definitely romantic kind of thoughts about other boys from as young as like 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And those thoughts, when they first came to me, seemed like the most natural thing in the world. Like, oh, that boy over there is quite nice. I want to spend more time with him. I think I had a crush on Spider-Man at one point.
Spider-Man or what's his name?
Peter Parker. I think a little bit of both. Something about the uniform really, really, really did it for me. But, you know, I feel like those thoughts were very quickly suppressed, and it's very quickly told, whether it was other kids in the playground or teachers or adults, you know, very quickly told me that no, that's not okay. And I feel like it then took like another like 10 years to undo that damage and kind of say, no, you know what, this is cool.
100%.
So I think, you know, a channel like Cake, do we say it Cake?
Cake, yeah. Cake.
I think, you know, it's so great, and I wish, you know, wish I could have gone on YouTube when I was a teenager and growing
up. Me too. Even having Instagram, but I mean, I feel like it's helpful in the sense that things like Cake and like being able to get, you know, your vision out there and stuff to the world with things like YouTube and Instagram. But at the same time, it's kind of, you know, is it good? Is it bad? Because you're exposing kids to a lot of other things as well. So I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with,
I think there are pros and cons.
Yeah.
But I've always kind of thought that for LGBT plus people particularly, it is, obviously there's going to be downfalls, but I think the benefits and the positives
it's being
of it
used in the right way,
definitely
100%.
Outweigh them. Now, Kyle, I think what's amazing as well about everything that you do is, obviously, because you are a stylist and you very much put yourself out there, you kind of are able to be very expressive in the way you look, etc.
Maybe not today.
I think you look
lovely.
You look great.
Oh, thanks.
But I mean, do you think that is why you kind of started getting messages on Instagram? Do you think it's because people were drawn to you because you looked a little bit different? You were very expressive.
100%. Because even, you know, I'll admit myself, even I went through a time when I was younger that I suppressed myself and didn't, you know, say dress the way I wanted to dress or, you know, have my hair or wear makeup or whatever because of, you know, who I was surrounded by. And then when I got to that point to be like, I don't care, I can wear whatever I want, I just thought, yeah, why am I not showing this to the rest of the world? To be like, be yourself, you can wear whatever you want. It's that simple. It's that easy. You know?
And I know you're working on things now to kind of push that message out there a little bit more. I don't know if you can tell me say on air what you were just telling me a few moments ago.
What were we just talking about?
We're talking about a certain person.
So it came out today. So I've just recently shot a Valentine's Day campaign for an underwear brand called Blue Bella.
Yeah.
And it was starring model and activist Monroe Bergdorf. And basically we found out it's the first British campaign to underwear campaign to feature a transgender model. So we made history.
It's amazing. Yeah, big round of applause for that. It must feel incredible to be kind of a part of things like that. You know,
100%. Like honestly, anything that I'd like all of my friends, like we were just talking a moment ago, like all of the people that I'm surrounded by at the moment are just so bloody inspiring and so like. I don't know, like, say Jamie Windus, for instance. Like, I wish I had that drive when I was his age. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just so refreshing. And it is. It's so lovely being around people of, like, the same mind, same-minded people as me, you know?
I think Jamie is incredible. And they really... there's something really special about them. And like you say, I just wish I had that drive.
They turn out a look.
Every single time. And Jamie was on Cake.
Yeah. So Jamie was on Cake. I interviewed them. It was great. We spoke about their childhood. We spoke about our love of fashion and makeup. You know, it was just really fun. It was fun. We try and make it as fun as possible because I find some YouTube videos can drag on after a while.
Yeah.
So we try and keep it as upbeat and fun as possible.
Well, speaking of fun, there was one particular game that you played in one of your videos. I think
is it Guess That Gargle?
It is.
Everyone's obsessed with this. I feel like I need to bring it back.
I kind of want to make you bring it back right now.
Okay, we could do it. Let's do it.
Do you have a drink there?
I do.
Do you have a song in mind? For a little bit of background, so this is a game where you gargle a song and I have to try and figure out
what song
that is.
Okay, if you've watched all of them, then I can't do one that I've already done. Then.
You're gonna have to think on your toes.
Okay,
I'm ready for this.
Oh, that's a bit hot though. I don't know if I can gargle that. Do you have any water?
I think we can get some water. I'll tell you what, let's have a little bit of a song. I'll give you a few minutes to prepare.
Let's do it.
And then we'll play Guess That Gargle. Okay, so this is a little bit of Bronze Avery.
I saw my body like a laser beam. I swear they could cut through me. I like watching you watching me. I'm here for a little mystery. You're in my head, all on my body. Ay, ay, ay. Not one rules, nothing is bad me. Doing what you wanna do, I'ma do it all to you. Spirit gotta listen to the shit I wanna do.
So for those of you who are just joining us now, Kyle and I are going to play a little game. Kyle has prepared a gargle for me, and from this gargle, I am going to try and figure out what song he is. Okay. I'm not going to get this right. This is going to be a car crash.
I don't feel like I'm going to do it right. Okay, let's go. That's not working.
I have literally...
That's too defined. It needs to be something of a really recognisable beat. Okay, hold on.
I have literally no idea.
I keep swallowing it.
Is it? It sounds a bit like the Circle of Life, but I feel like it can't be.
Close.
Oh wait, no, it's Celine Dion.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of myself.
I mean, I just feel like that's the best one that I can do. That's like my one party trick. I felt sick of that one.
That was really, really good. And I'm sure our lovely listeners
not
loved.
Just a pretty face, so talented,
so many skills,
and so many skills.
Gargling is one of them. All right, I'm going to take over now, Kyle. I have another game for you.
Okay.
This is my personal favourite. This is a game we like to call Porn or Not Porn.
Oh, fun!
So in this game, I have in front of me five different sound clips. Some of them have been taken from porn, and some of them have not been taken from porn. And because your YouTube channel is called Cake, this week we thought we would have a baking theme. So some of these are from porn, and some of these are from baking shows and etc.
Fab.
I also don't know the answers, so we're going to be a team.
Okay.
Fab. And we'll get through this together.
Love a bit of porn.
Can't get enough of it. All right, our first one is
let's cream together the eggs and sugar.
Let's cream together the eggs and sugar, I think is what she was saying there.
Can we hear that one more time?
Yeah, we absolutely can.
Let's cream together the eggs and sugar.
She's very sexual.
She is very sexual. But then, you know, we have the likes of like... Nigella. That's not Nigella, but
I
feel like...
It could be an American Nigella.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of that kind in like baking shows. There's a lot of like sexy, you know, I'm going to press my breasts together. Do you think?
Cream and sugar, you know, like, I don't know.
It's very sexually charged, but I feel like it's too obviously
okay,
porn.
Okay, so not porn. Let's go for not porn.
You sure?
Yeah.
Let's have it one last time.
Okay.
Let's cream together the eggs and sugar.
I think not porn. I think it's just too obvious.
But you wouldn't cream together eggs and sugar.
Would you not? I'm not really au fait in the kitchen. I'm going to be honest
baking.
With you.
I love baking. Like, eggs and sugar you mix together.
That makes like a meringue, doesn't
it? Yeah. But that she said cream together.
Interesting. So you think this is a porn actress who doesn't actually know a great deal about baking?
Or it could be like, you know, those pornos that are like an hour long and there's like a storyline in the beginning. Is it a trick one?
I love those, you know, with a proper storyline. There was one called Pirates, I think, and it was like a full length feature film. I think it was like an hour and a half, and it was like done like Hollywood style with like a proper storyline, but like an okay storyline, a good budget, and like I'm all about that, because you know when I'm watching a film and like or a TV show and I really fancy the characters, I'm like, oh, could we not just like see them like go
have a little sexy,
yeah. So like I feel like that's what they're trying to achieve there. So
I get it.
So what do you think? I'm going to let you decide, Kyle, and I'm going to go with you.
Let's say not porn.
Yeah, okay.
Because I have a really dirty mind, so it could just be me.
I think it might just be you.
Yeah.
All right, we are saying not porn. Final answer. Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel like I led you astray. It is porn.
It is porn.
It is. I'm so sorry
See,
for doubting
I knew
you.
I knew it.
So this is from a remarkable film called Let's Bake a Titty Cake. beautiful title there. And the teacher demonstrates how to make a cake in home economics. And then presumably the sex begins.
You just sewn cream, eggs and sugar.
I knew it.
Mary Berry would be literally...
She'd be here like, nah,
yeah,
nah,
she'd be
nah,
like,
nah.
Kyle, I thought more of you, babe.
All right, our next one is...
Give that a good squeeze.
Give that a good squeeze.
I think that sounded like Ainsley Harriott.
Oh, do you? A bit of Ainsley there.
Give that a good squeeze.
Is that? That's not Ainsley Harriott, is it? No.
Sounds like Ainsley. I'm going to say not porn.
You think that is specifically Ainsley Harriott?
One more time.
Give that a good squeeze.
That's Ainsley Harriott.
Is it?
Yeah, it sounds like
it. All right, well, I'm going to give us 10 points instead of 1 point if it is indeed okay. Ainsley Harriott. So we are saying this is not porn, and also that this is apparently...
Extra points, Ainsley Harriott.
Apparently Ainsley Harriott. This is not porn, and it is Ainsley Harriott baking.
I'm a legend.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm a legend. Or I just watch a ton of TV, one or the other. But
I would have not picked that out in a million years.
I do like an Ainsley cooking show.
I feel like he's got a bit more of a deep rasp in his voice. Good old Ainsley.
You know, the tomatoes. See, he's very like with his hands, isn't he? So.
Well, this was him squeezing lemons for a lemon drizzle cake. So, you know. Very sexually charged there, our Ainsley. Well done. 10 points for us.
Do we get the 10 points for the Ainsley Harriott?
Yeah.
Comment?
Okay, yeah, perfect. so we've only done 2 questions and we've got 12 points. So we're already record breaking this. All right, next one.
The bass is quite thick.
The bass. I recognise that voice.
I do as well.
Wait, that's Nigella. That's Nigella.
The bass is quite thick.
Yeah, it is Nigella.
Is it?
It sounds like Nigella.
I think it
yeah,
is.
It's that little husk at the thick, isn't it? The thick.
Thick. Did you ever see that like compilation where somebody edited together loads of Nigella clips to make her...
Like, as if she's like...
Talking very sexually.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
I mean, isn't hard with Nigella.
It's the same thing. Really, all
it's
the time.
Basically
her show.
The same thing. Are we saying not porn? Yeah.
And Nigella. Do we get extra points?
Yeah, we're going to get 300 points if this is indeed Nigella Lawson. Final answer. It is not porn, and it is Nigella Lawson baking cheesecakes.
We are smashing it.
We've got like 4,000 points already. We're doing so well today. I'm so proud of us.
Right.
All right, our next one is...
So once all the chocolate is in there, add a little nutmeg.
That is porn. That has to be porn.
Or she's got a massive kitchen and she's running from like side to side. She sounds a bit out of breath.
She sounds like she's almost like jiggling.
It's the bounce.
I hear her bouncing. Let's hear that again.
So once all the chocolate is in there, add a little nutmeg.
No, but she could be giving it the old bowl under
bash,
the arm.
Bash,
with the wooden spoon.
Oh, that is a very
good
point.
Once the chocolate's
point.
In there, just add a bit of nutmeg.
Yeah, I see what
she
you're
could
saying.
Be like, yeah.
She's either really going at it with a whisk or something untoward is going on.
Right. One more time for luck.
Okay.
So once all the chocolate is in there, add a little nutmeg.
She is really out of breath.
I mean, but I feel like if it was porn, I'd hear a little slap. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I love the slap
sound.
I say bake. Yeah, I'm going to... Do you think...
I say bake.
Okay,
should we go against each other on
No, I'll agree with you. I don't want to start a fight. we're going to say not porn against my better judgment.
Yeah. Oh, it is porn.
It is just a really nice title. Busty chick fucked. Straight
nice.
To the point. And this is a busty woman is being fucked in a kitchen by her boyfriend whilst cooking a cake at the same time. See, we could hear it.
Yeah.
We could hear the bouncing.
I knew she was cooking, though. I could sense the cook.
You could sense the cook.
You could sense the
fucking.
I could sense the cook.
Yeah.
God. That was a trick question, that one.
We can bring it back.
Well, at least we have 4,000 points.
We do. We do. We're fine. We're not behind. All right. Our last one is...
And just push your fingers around the edge there.
Ooh. Ooh.
That could be Ainsley again, you know.
Do you think it's Ainsley again?
Could be.
Shall I play the earlier Ainsley clip so we can compare?
Okay,
so here's Ainsley from earlier.
Give that a good squeeze.
And now here's the new one.
And just push your fingers around the edge there.
No, they're different voices, aren't they?
But I recognise that voice.
Do you?
Yeah, that's definitely a chef.
Do you you watch a lot of cooking shows?
Yeah. I do. I mean, I'm not good at cooking. I'm all right at baking.
Yeah.
But I just enjoy them.
I feel like there's not as many male chefs. Like, I feel like I could list off quite a few, like, famous TV female chefs, but not
but
that
I
many
think
males.
Of recent, though, like, growing up in the... Let's say the noughties, not the 90s, the noughties. There was a lot more male chefs on television.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just maybe had a bit of a...
A flip over.
Yeah, a flip over.
So what are you thinking for this?
I think it's a male chef that we all know. Maybe like James... What's his name?
James?
You know James that does like Saturday Kitchen?
I have no idea who that is.
Oh,
literally
babe,
no idea.
I forgot his name. James.
Shall we say it's not porn and we think it's James?
Yeah, not porn, it's James.
I don't know who James is.
James Martin.
Okay, sure. We are saying not porn and we're saying this is James Martin. I'm so sorry I doubted you.
Oh, my first answer.
It is not porn and it is Ainsley Harriott talking dirty.
I
should just listen to you.
You should.
Why am
I
even here?
I'm literally so professional.
Shall I leave? Do you want to take over the show? So, yeah, this is Ainsley Harriet.
Am I like top of the leaderboard with this? Because I think I smashed this game.
I think the best score we've ever had is 5 out of 5. And we're on like 4,000 and something.
I basically would have had 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I would have had 4 out of 5 because it was that one.
I feel like I've tripped you up and I've ruined this game for you.
It was supposed to be teamwork. Dragging the team down.
I'm so sorry. Later on in the show, we are going to be reacting to your sex confessions. So if you would like to send those in, you can do that completely anonymously by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. So send us your best. We cannot wait to hear them. Shall we have a little bit more music? I'm asking you, Kyle.
Yes. Sorry, yes. I'm so devastated that I
still upset about the game.
I knew that was Ainsley.
Well, maybe this will cheer you up. This is a little bit of Boy by Aaron Porter.
How can I commit to it? I want to be the trouble, want to be the regret. Baby, we're just getting started. Just getting started. How can I resist all this? I buried every lover just to taste your kiss. And we're just getting started, just getting started. I see a boy working on. I see a boy, you're moving closer. I see a boy. Wanna show grace, we're protecting you. Come on, boy, let's get started on this. I wanna get started. Switch on every light you see. Expose every little part of me. Oh yeah, we're just getting started. Just getting started. I see a boy working on. I see a boy, you're moving closer. I see a boy.
Kyle, you have an exciting project that you're currently working on.
Yeah, still developing.
Tell me a little bit, because I feel like it runs in the theme of everything else you're doing.
Yeah.
Like you're really trying to champion like diversity and inclusivity and, I guess, take a positive stand for all the young people out 100%, there.
100%, and just bring attention to it, really.
So tell me a little bit about the project.
So I grew up in the care system, and a lot of people, like, never believe that when they meet me, because they're like, what? Like, you grew up in care? And it's like, yeah, I did grow up in care.
Just forgive my ignorance on this. Does that mean you were, like, fostered?
Yeah, I was with my mom until I was around six, and then, like, the whole family unit, like, crumbled. So I went into the care system, and you're in, like, either, like, foster families or in, like, children's homes. You get moved around a lot.
Yeah.
And then I luckily got adopted when I was 12. I got fostered by Matilda at 12 and then adopted at 13 by her.
Okay.
So, and just the whole time that I did spend in care was just an awful experience. Mm. And I just wanted to just put out there into the world that, like, to show people that, you know, you can achieve anything you want to put your mind to. And, you know, I didn't start from the best beginnings, you know, like, my education was shit. Mm. And, like, I had no real family support. Like, I didn't really know what love was when I was a child. Like, all these things. And I just feel like people only see the you now.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just wanted to bring some light to that and just, you know, kind of tell the world, you know, there are these kids in care that, like, we've kind of forgotten about, you know, the lost kids of care. And, you know, just bring some attention to that. So the main project is we're going to find a television station to take it. Put it into documentary form. I don't know how yet. Like, there's been so many ideas floating around. We thought we could, like, take kids out of the care system and then, you know, get them work placements in the fashion industry.
Oh, wow.
But I just felt like that was a bit too light for me.
Sure,
like,
you want to go deeper.
Yeah, I want there to be a bit of grit to it because, like I said, it wasn't a great time. Mm. So I don't want to make any part of this comical for TV purposes. I want to, you know, show the world really what the care system's like. Mm. And the fact that, like, when you're 20, you're just left.
Yeah.
And, like, me personally, I still feel like you're a child when you're 20. And
100%,
do you know what I
mean?
And if I didn't have the support of Matilda, who's, like, my adopted mother, I don't know where I'd be right now. So I kind of just want to, you know, document that and put it into documentary form.
And it must have been really difficult as well for yourself growing up, because I feel like, you know, trying to figure out your identity, you know, whether you identify as LGBT+ or not, I think is kind of irrelevant. I think, you know, just trying to figure out who you are while being kind of moved around so much must really, really impact people.
And do you know what? Kids are mean. Like, kids are mean. And what we were talking about earlier about, you know, not really having any support when you had your gay thoughts and, you know, like, your gay feelings and not really having any support and told that it's wrong.
Mm.
So that's kind of, like, 10 times worse in the care system, because there's no adults around to kind of be like, don't talk to each other like that. You know, you're just kind of, like, subjected to this abuse from the other kids. And they're still kids too, so I don't really have any, like, hate or anguish towards them, but I just think the situation needs to be dealt with a lot better. And I do feel like by doing a documentary about this, it will shed a lot of light on the situation.
100%. I get like yourself, like you were saying earlier in the show, I get a lot of people kind of reach out to me with messages and emails and things. And, like, I read an awful lot of things that are quite, like, heartbreaking. But I think one that really stood out to me was a new foster parent who, I don't know why they chose to reach out to me. Maybe they had just seen my stuff online and thought, oh, maybe he will have some insight.
Mm-hmm.
But they were fostering for, I think, the first time. And they were fostering this trans kid who had kind of recently come out as trans and had kind of been dropped by her previous
family.
Foster family because of their trans identity.
That's terrible.
And I just found,
disgusting,
like, you know, how being bounced around, you know, the care system, etc., must be really, really difficult. But then when you're trying to deal with something like that on top, and I can just imagine, like, you finally, maybe you come out to your friends in school or whatever, and then suddenly you have to move family and you have to change school. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine how difficult something like that would be.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know that I personally would really, really love to see a show that's talking about that, because I think, honestly, you know, that email aside and talking to you now, I hadn't actually thought about it that much and how it must really impact people's lives.
The only way I could really explain it was that you feel like, with the, like, being the whole foster thing, like, once I was adopted, like, with Matilda, I just was extremely lucky to find her. But for the years where I was in the care system, it's like you just kind of feel like you're a lodger in people's houses.
Yeah, yeah.
So to be a child and to not really feel that whole environment of a solid home, even though, like, I did stay with loads of foster parents that were absolutely lovely, you just never feel that real sense of belong.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine how tough it was for them to, like, turn around and be kind of shunned because of their gender.
Yeah.
It's completely ridiculous.
I know there's been a lot of stuff in the news recently as well about kind of like parents complaining and protesting to their schools because, like, whether it's primary or secondary, because their kids are being, you know, taught about LGBT plus people, which I think is so important. We need to be teaching our kids about that. And there's been a lot of this covered recently. And I've got a quote here, actually, which is from a parent saying, "Sorry, at this age, it's totally wrong. Children at this age don't even know if they are coming or going, let alone knowing what sexual orientation they will become. It's good to teach children about respect and values, but the sexual orientation aspect is against our principles." And, you know, I feel like kids can be so mean. And then when you have that kind of adults saying those things, you know.
But also for me, I just feel like you can, like, what does sexual behaviour have to do with the LGBT, teaching them LGBT culture?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's a whole lot more to the world than sex, anything sexual. Like, it's a lifestyle, it's a community that exists out there, and all you're doing is letting them know what's out in the world for them if they do choose to follow that path.
100%.
So, like, I think I remember this. Was this on, like, the news on ITV or something? There was the woman.
Yeah.
And they had, like, it was like a, they did, like, theme days every Friday or something, right? And they did Pride for, like, one Friday. I think I remember this, but it's disgusting.
I actually went into some schools last summer, kind of throughout Pride season, and went in to work with, like, various LGBT plus kids, and they did, like, special, like, it was, like, school Pride, and it was a few charities getting involved, and it was so lovely to go into schools and be working with kids kind of aged, like, 12 to 16, who were all out and proudly LGBT plus, and just see them interacting, and, like, being so happy and encouraged by their teachers and everyone else, you know, to be themselves and to really celebrate that. And that really, really touched me, because I certainly know that when I was growing up, probably the same for you, that there was absolutely
nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Just told it was wrong. Literally, we were just told, no, you shouldn't have those feelings. They're wrong, you know. But
so, you know, I think all of this just kind of emphasizes the importance of everything that you were doing and continuing to do and hoping to do in future with this TV show, which I really, really hope gets off the ground. Because
me too.
I really, really want to see that.
I just currently feel like no one's understanding the vision at the moment, but we'll get there.
I feel like the producers
are like trying to make it like to glamorize it and like, you know, just make it too glossy and happy. And that's not what I'm trying to portray.
I think there can be a difficulty with that in TV sometimes. You know, there's a kind of okay, but what's our like what's our fun
angle?
What's
the demographic? Yeah,
you know, and I don't think there has to be. I think you can just present something as it is and say this is the situation.
Exactly.
And is there anything that, you know, people, your everyday person, can do to kind of make this better?
I mean, I'm just like a firm believer of adoption and foster well. So I would just stress to everyone, if you have a spare room and, you know, you could look, you're able to look after a child, then please do so.
Yeah.
It's so important. There are so many kids already in the system that need love.
I think I always, because I kind of decided a while back that I don't want kids myself. I can't see myself kind of having that kind of nuclear family that we're growing up taught that we have to have. And I've kind of decided that. I even sat my parents down and told them, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to have kids. Just want to let you know. But I have kind of always considered fostering. And obviously I'm not ready yet. I feel like I need a little bit more stability in my life, but I would love to be a foster parent one day. And I think information around that would really help. So, you know, if I sat down and watched a TV show that was talking all about that, that may give me, or, you know, anyone else watching, the kind of the push that they need to say, you know what, I can help somebody, and I can look after somebody and try. And
I just think it's the most rewarding thing, you know. Like, my mum Matilda always says, like, you know, it's so rewarding for her to see me like doing stuff with my life, knowing where I came from. I think it's just, it's one of the best things you could do.
Are there any other kind of influential personality celebrities that have been through the same? Because I'm not actually aware of anyone.
Who do I know that has? Samantha Morton, the actress.
Okay.
Me and her have spoken about it a few times. She grew up in the care system as well. There are quite a few people out there.
Yeah,
I have done it, but no one wants to talk about it.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Well, I want to talk about it.
Yeah, right.
I want to talk about it, guys.
All
right, let's have a little bit more music. So we are going to have. Oh, actually, before I play this song, I want to talk about how cool I think this is. So this is Monster from Dodie. She has just released this, but she did something which I think was very cool and groundbreaking. She hid one of the songs from her new P EP in a series of videos that she created over the space of a year. Mm. So she hid in little notes and words of her saying certain lyrics from the song that nobody knew about, nobody knew was there. So she'd be talking and then all of a sudden she would try and make it seem natural, but she would almost like burst into song for a little
bit.
She'd
sing it.
She would sing it, okay. But like maybe just a word or two words from the song. And she was getting like a lot of comments and things from people saying,
is she mental?
Is she mental? Like what's happening? Why does anyone else notice she keeps bursting into song? Yeah. And she kept this fully under her hat for a full year. And then when she released her EP, which I think came out about a week ago, so this is brand new, she said, oh, by the way, this song has been here the whole time for you to listen to. It's just been like divided up and hidden in
That's
all these
amazing.
Videos. And I just love it when creative people do things like that. So shout out to Dodie there. This
Big up,
is
Dodie.
Monster from her new EP.
Tell me again about how it hurts being awfully loud for an introvert. Get out of my room. Smile wiped clean. Isn't it weird to be so mean? I'm guessing that I've grown horns. I guess I'm human no more. I can tell I've rotted in your brain. Oh, how easily passion twists. You think I'm a crazy bitch. I craft my words to fit your head, 'cause no one listens to the dead. So maybe I will talk to you. The only way I know how to. I've said my speech. To sharpen teeth. You break the rules and spikes grow from your skin. Please let the devil in. A meter apart, we blankly stare. We shout in our heads, are you still in there? Well, this ends bad then. We knew it would, so we won't eat our words, 'cause they don't taste good. I'm guessing that I've grown horns. I guess I'm human no more. I can tell I've rotted in your brain. Oh, how easily passion twists. You think I'm a crazy bitch. A thousand words are left unsaid, 'cause no one listens to the dead. So maybe I will talk to you. The only way I know how to. I've said my speech. Through sharpened teeth. You break the rules and spikes grow from your skin.
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Dan the Cycle from the Circle. I got catfished twice. One was an old lady.
Oh my days. I remember when she came into the show and she was like, yeah, she's playing this young thing. And all the girls were like, yeah, she's buff. Like, all the girls,
catfished twice.
Literally within 2 days. And then the Alex thing happened 2 days later. And I thought, they've just bought me on the show to just.
That's because Dan loves to church girls, innit?
Yeah, like,
Every Wednesday,
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Okay, Kyle, are you ready for some sex confessions?
I'm ready.
Amazing. Thank you so much to everybody who has sent in their confessions this week. If you ever want to send in confessions, send us for future weeks. You can do that by emailing callum@fubarradio.com, and it's completely anonymous. I think we should dive straight into this. I'm going to make you read the first one.
Should I go for it?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. I've been dating a guy for a few months now. He's really experienced in the sex department, but I'm a virgin.
Ooh.
He doesn't know this. How do I bring this up? How do I bring this up now we've been together for a while?
So presumably they've not had sex yet in this relationship, because they've said they're a virgin.
But then how would she know that he was experienced?
Unless he just said,
oh, I'm really experienced.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose if she's a virgin, she doesn't really know.
It also may not be a she, could be a he.
Oh yeah,
it's very I find something really interesting about when we do this is that everybody, even gay people, always seem to think of a straight dynamic.
Why?
It's like it's drilled
into
us.
We're all conditioned
to, you know, we hear, oh, I've been dating a guy, and we think therefore female, which is crazy.
It's bizarre.
So how do I bring this up now we've been together for a while? I mean, I don't think that this has to be a big deal. What do you think?
I think he might be into it.
Yeah, like I think there is something quite... I never want to hype up virginity too much, because I think the first time you have sex, although it is important, I think we put too much emphasis on, 100%. Oh my God, we need to lose our virginity, or oh my God, I've lost my virginity and it wasn't this big, special, ceremonious moment, you know?
At all.
But at the same time, I do think there can be something very special. And I know that if I was dating somebody and they told me that they were a virgin, I certainly wouldn't judge them or look down at them for that.
No, and I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, and the fact that they want to share that with you.
Yeah, 100%.
I think is a really special thing. I just can't imagine anyone in a million years.
I mean, if he's got a problem with it, then he's not the one for
you. Bye, trash.
Yeah, see you later.
Don't have sex with him if they react badly to
he
the fact that you're a virgin.
The flower.
Doesn't... Oh, the flower. I hate that term. I just really picture a flower then just kind of being smashed, like with a mallet. That's what I picture. So I think just bring it up when you're comfortable and just say, hey, can we have a chat? Or, you know, if you're like making out, there's something I want to tell you, you know? And yeah, hopefully it'll be all good.
Yeah, just bring it next time you're making out, bring it up.
Yeah.
In the heat of the moment. And if he's got a problem with it, then see you later.
Then
much.
Fuck him. Yeah. Doesn't deserve the flower.
Bye.
All right, our next one. I'm in secondary school and I've just started to watch porn now and again. I feel embarrassed that I'm watching this stuff. Why do I feel like this? Lots of people at school do the same. I think this probably comes from, I feel like our society and our culture is still very much wrapped up in shame. It's kind of drilled into us that there's something shameful or wrong.
Especially here in the UK as well.
Especially like here.
We're afraid, everyone's quite prudish and like, no one wants to talk about sex.
And yeah, but I just feel, I feel like literally everybody, I know that not everybody enjoys porn, but I know that I feel like everybody has had a little dabble.
I think debatable.
Now and then.
I think everyone is into porn.
Yeah.
I have quite a few friends. We go for lunches and like my male straight friends watch porn. My male gay friends watch porn. My female lesbian friends and my female straight friends all watch porn.
Yeah.
Like, everyone watches porn.
I love porn.
There's so many different types and variations. I love porn.
Yeah.
It's great.
I kind of get why you feel that way. And I think when I was in secondary school and when I was, you know, before I was out of the closet, for instance, watching gay porn on the bloody dial-up because it was a long time ago. you know, and I did kind of feel like, oh, what if I get caught? Because number one, that kind of exposes my sexuality. But number two, oh, I've been caught doing this sexual adult thing that I'm not supposed to be
kind
doing.
Kind of into that, though. It's kind of the thrill.
The thrill of getting caught. Yeah, there is a little bit of that. but yeah. Yeah, I know maybe you're saying that it's normal and everybody does it might not help, but it is true. Everybody watches it and...
They do. Just like, you just don't have to... If everyone has a problem with it, then just don't talk about it. Keep it private.
Yeah. Sometimes I think there can be a lot of power in taking pride in something that a lot of people are ashamed of. Like, I know that when I was kind of getting into my early 20s, I started realizing I had like certain fetishes and things. Uh-oh. And that was like really ashamed and embarrassed about. And then I had another gay friend who just come one day with no like shame or anything, just came out and confidently said, oh, I have this fetish. And they were just so chill about it that it gave me the confidence to be like, oh,
can
me
I
too.
Know what the fetish is?
Oh, water sports.
Oh.
Which I've said on this radio show before.
Fun.
But I feel like taking pride in something like that can really, really help. So, like, I'm not saying you should go into school the next day and be like, hey, everyone, I watch porn. But, you know, if you kind of, like, convince yourself to be confident in it, I think other people almost warm up to that.
But also, I'm looking at secondary school as well.
That's like, true. Maybe not ready. Don't listen like, to Callum. Terrible
no, but
advice.
I'm just saying, like, everyone's masturbating so much when you're in secondary school. You're
like
starting
round
to
the
come
clock.
To terms with your body. Like, it's normal. Don't feel bad.
Me and some of my friends used to, like, have, like, my straight friends as well. They were like, oh, do you fancy a wanking competition? And I was like, yeah.
What, like soggy biscuit?
What's
type?
That? No, like, I never got to eat the biscuit. I would have eaten the biscuit. But no, we never... Did you play soggy biscuit? Surely not. Surely not.
I've been known to play soggy biscuit once or twice.
Oh, wow.
With straight boys, actually.
It's always the straight boys.
Yeah, it's always the straight boys.
Always the straight boys that want to play soggy biscuit.
Always the straight boys.
Yeah, I feel like that's the extent of my advice there. I think we nailed it, Kyle.
Definitely.
Do you want to?
It's their problem, not yours.
Yeah, 100%. Do you want to read the next one?
Okay, next one. I love face tattoos on guys. It's my new thing. Last week, I stepped with a guy with a bee tattoo on his head.
A bee. I mean, great.
Cute.
That's great. I'm trying to, like, picture the tattoo.
Like, what part of the head?
I'm seeing, like, forehead, and I'm seeing, like, the most ridiculous, like, bee, like the kind of bee a four-year-old would draw, is what I'm picturing, like, right on the forehead. Whereas I'm sure it was actually something a lot more.
See, I'm seeing, like, maybe, like, the side of the face.
Oh, just
like,
on like, the little bee?
Yeah, yeah, little bee. That would be cute.
Yeah.
Like a little tiny, like, little yellow bee would be cute on the face.
I think it takes a lot. I think it takes a special kind of very confident person to get a face tattoo. And I fully respect that, and I can completely understand.
I'm into face tattoos too.
Yeah, I think I agree. You've got some tattoos like very close to your face, kind of on your ears.
I've got a heart there, and then I've got my ears done. But no, I really wanted to get a teardrop a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and like no, everyone was like, "If you do that, you're going to ruin your face." Oh, no, not really. I'd love it.
I think you would have been looking.
Plus, I haven't murdered anyone. Like, apparently, it means you've
Well, I was going to say, I didn't want to ruin it for you, but I was going to say that is what it means.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe.
But you
not.
Don't know what the future holds, hey?
Oh, my God. This is an interesting one. This isn't a sex confession, but somebody has just sent in new clubs that aren't GAY? ? I feel like I'm going to try and answer this.
Do they mean as in new gay clubs in London that aren't GAY?
GAY, yeah, because I feel like the gay scene can sometimes kind of revolve a lot around like GAY, whether that's GAY Manchester, Heaven, you know, the GAY Bar, GAY Late. It's very dominated by that, but I think there's so many
So not my vibe.
Clubs. I'm going to assume that you're London-based, and there's literally so many little gay clubs
so
and bars.
Many. I would Metropolis say Club on a Friday night, yeah,
I was going to say check out East London because there's so many different venues over there. You've got like Dalston Superstore, you've got East Block, you've got The Glory, which is great fun, especially when there's performances and things on there.
Vauxhall,
you've got Fire, you've got The Eagle, you've got XXL.
What's that pub called?
The Royal Vauxhall Tavern, which is amazing venue, which has like incredible history.
Even the Admiral Duncan in Soho.
Admiral Duncan is lovely in Soho. There's like loads of little bars along Old Compton Street that aren't GAY. You've got choices.
Right.
Check out one of the ones we just said, or just hop on Google. There are lots and lots of different places. And even like you can go out like in the middle of West London. There's a little club called like West Five, I think it's called, which like you would never know about, but it's there.
Where is that?
There's these little pockets, and then There's so many, there genuinely. So just do a bit of research, and I'm sure you can find something that is more your vibe, because I get that GAY is very kind of young white male twinkie look, yeah, and that's not for everyone.
I don't really enjoy GAY, to be honest.
I think
no
I'm getting
to Jeremy,
I feel like I'm getting a bit old for it.
Right? I didn't want to say it, but that's
I'm getting old.
Like last time I went there, I was like, oh God, get me out of here.
That is all that we have time for, I think, today. I want to do, Kyle, I feel like you're such an incredible person. You're doing so many amazing things, and I want to follow your journey, and I want this TV show to happen.
So do
And I'm sure our lovely listeners want to kind of like follow along with you. So where, you know, if people are interested in you and your life, or they just want to support you, where can they do that?
So I've like got rid of a lot of my platforms. I only have Instagram.
Ooh.
Now. Twitter was becoming too much for me, and Facebook, I just didn't want to talk to anyone else.
I feel like Facebook is dead.
Yeah, it's just like old friends from like 2001 that I haven't seen in like forever. That like
a lot of people from school.
I'm just like, look at my life, bitches.
Look at me. I do, because I've got a few like of the people who bullied me and stuff,
right,
on Facebook.
Exactly, that's what I had on
so
Facebook.
I'm like, oh, look at me doing this great thing.
Look at me, bitches, got my own show.
Exactly that. So, so what is your Instagram? How do people find you there?
So it's just at Kyle Devol. KyleDevolle.
Well, I can't wait to see everything that you're going to be doing.
Thank you so much for having me.
I wish you so much luck. You've been an incredible guest on the show.
Thank you. I had so much fun.
And yeah, I'm going to play you out with a little bit of brand new Troy Sivan. This is I'm So Tired.
To a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.